we bring on the one and the only Wolf of Wall Street, Jordan Belfort. Check out what he has to say about the election, what's going on in our country, what he's been going through, and so much more. We'll be right back.
Hey, peeps, please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the family. All right, so now that that's out of the way, let's get into this.
What is going on, crypto family? So today, we speak with the Wolf of Wall Street himself, Jordan Belfort, the titan of sales and an incredibly great guy, regardless of, you know, how he might have been portrayed in a couple scenes by Leonardo DiCaprio in the Wolf of Wall Street movie. You know, Jordan, he's written books and does all kinds of like free sales training videos, has his own paid courses, you know, as well, and even trains salespeople to be placed within different organizations. So we'll touch on that a little bit, you know, in the latter part of the interview. But first, we actually jump into him and what he and his girlfriend have been going through. They actually got COVID, right? So what happened to them, all that kind of stuff. We discuss the election, the thoughts on media, you know, the big media, big tech, all the social media platforms, New York Times, all that kind of stuff. We talk about people on the left. We talk about people on the right. We talk about other countries. We talk about the pandemic, lockdowns. We also talk about he and my $25,000 bet and a ton more. So also for people that want one of his books or one of my books, I'll mail out 25 of them to the first 25 people that email me at cryptobeatles@gmail.com. Totally free. No strings attached. Also, for the people that want the 1,000 Monarch tokens, stick around to the end of the video for my final thoughts and to find out more about the crypto. So, enough rambling. Let's go ahead, jump right in, and go meet the Wolf of Wall Street. What is going on, crypto family? So today we are joined with the one and the only Jordan Belfort, possibly the greatest salesman that's ever lived. So, how you doing, my man? What's going on?
Doing great. I'm doing sideways. Getting ready for a big day tomorrow, election day, you know?
I hear that, man. What's kind of your thoughts? You're down in the LA area, right? So you've seen, you know, a whole bunch of craziness, right? So what's kind of your thoughts?
There's nothing that would make me happier in the world. And I know this makes me a terrible person. I know it. I'm not a good person, okay? I just want to see Rachel Maddow and the rest of the liberals cry tomorrow night. There's such, I hate to say it, but that screaming of the social justice warrior and the, you know, the primal screams and the hysterical, you know, just
not my president part two.
I just, it would make my night. It would complete. It'd be like Jerry Maguire. That would complete me. Okay. So, now, you know, again, by the way, I have a lot of liberal friends and I love them all. And we agree on almost everything because I'm about as socially liberal as you can get. All right. So I'm like a lot of people, maybe very much like you. I'm very liberal socially, very conservative fiscally. And I think most people are like that. But either way, I think what happens on both sides is that the platforms get hijacked by the extremists on either side of the equation, and next thing you know, it's like you feel like it's such a bipolar decision. And I think at the end of the day, most of this is shades of gray. I think that it seems very obvious that they're setting it up to just knock Biden right out. If by some chance he does win, they'll just remove him because of the Hunter Biden scandal. So the reason they're burying it right now, but the second he wins, the New York Times will be all over that. Next thing you know, it'll turn, oh, it's for real. And they'll knock him out and Kamala Harris becomes president. And, you know, but Biden just is a puppet anyway. So like that, you know, it's not Biden that's being elected. So it's whoever, you know, whether or not that happens 3 months after he takes office or even before he takes office and he never actually takes office, but Biden's not going to be president for very long if he wins. I personally don't think he's going to win.
No,
I think it's going to be but how about this? I think it might be a blowout for Trump, but you don't know.
100%. No, I think he's already got 40 plus states already. I think it's over because they use the Electoral College. Everybody's worried about, you know, these states like California, for instance, they're worried about, Pennsylvania or North Carolina or places with delayed voting to where they can still count these ballots. So it gives them plenty of time to do some fraudulent stuff. But I don't think it's going to matter. I think he's going to win in a huge red tsunami. But how are you staying in California, man, with all the craziness going on there, man? What makes you stay when you see the riots and you see the taxes. And I mean, because we're both, you know, we love to make and keep our money, right? So sure. In California, they're trying to raise it up to 62-point-something% taxes. Why have you stayed?
Yeah. Well, I'm not planning on staying. I am leaving. This will be my last tax year in California for sure. I was actually just down in Florida. I just got over COVID, by the way. Everyone that's listening here, I had COVID-19.
Out there that's terrified of this, you know, COVID-19. So, you know, you had it, and how long did you have it for before you kicked its butt?
Well, I don't know. So I caught it. I came down with it last Sunday. It's 8 days now. 8 days ago, I got it, right? So I started feeling sick on Sunday, and that was in the form of I couldn't get warm. Middle of the night, I woke up my girlfriend, like, hey, I'm really cold. You're bringing, let's get another blanket. I was actually in a hotel, and I ordered another comforter, and then I ordered another comforter, and I'm like, fuck, there's something wrong here, right? And then and I immediately kind of figured I had COVID, right? Because I just felt like, you know, chills, but no sneezing, no coughing. But a lot of body aches. I mean, my body was like fucking like my skin like that, you know? So a doctor came over, nice guy. He takes one look at me. You know, he knows me. He goes, yeah, you have it. I'll confirm it. He goes, but you're not going to have a problem with this. This is the most overblown disease in the world, in the history of diseases. It's the single most overblown thing. He goes, a guy like you will be over this thing in a few days. And sure enough, later that day, I got diagnosed positive, as did my girlfriend. She's been asymptomatic the whole time. She never even got symptoms. Go figure, right?
Imagine a disease so deadly that you need to take a test to find out if you have it.
To find out, you're right. You need to take a test. It's like the whole thing is so insane, right? And then, I was really, really tired. So I caught up on a lot of sleep. I had a lot of body aches, no headache though, but a lot of body aches. And then by Wednesday, so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday, I started feeling really good again. By Wednesday night, I was back to normal. And then I saw Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I just stayed in quarantine. My doctor gave me the clearance to go out after 3 days of no symptoms. But I've been still keeping my distance from people just in case, you know. And I'm going to get a test now today. Hopefully, I've cleared it completely. And then I'll have my office come back in. But listen, I would say this. Listen, as I always said, it's a real virus. And like the virus is really dangerous for people who are very old, who have certain comorbidities, and have to be really, really careful. But for everyone else, the flu is a lot worse. Like there's just like, this is nothing. It's not even the only thing is that sucks though, is I did lose my sense of smell completely, which is really pissing me off, especially I love when my girlfriend smells. So I'm like, are you a robot? I can't even tell you. I used to always know one sniff, you know, so I can taste food, which is very sad, but that will come back, I think, in about 7-8 more days. And now I'm immune. And there you go.
There you go. I'm telling you, you know, one of the great things about COVID is if you look, influenza and flu, it's like 98% gone. So there's only like 2% now, according to the CDC, where influenza or the flu is even around. And, you know, as far as, you know, the elderly people, they've always had to worry about pneumonia, influenza, things like that. But now, you know, they got a 2% chance, according to the CDC.
I think it's a lot. So it's obvious. You know what amazes me? I almost got to, I get to give them credit, like the establishment in the deep state, for the sheer brazenness of it all. Like that, like, it's like, they don't care how obvious it is that it's all a hoax, in the sense that like they're making it as that's the worst thing in the world. Oh gee, what a shock that cases are peaking right before election day. Like you could, oh really? I'm so shocked. Like, that was so obvious. Like just before the votes, and it's our worst single day of COVID. You know, like tomorrow will be like, and the virus is everywhere. And then what you're gonna find is in about, if no matter who wins, doesn't matter anymore because Trump is up, but especially if Biden wins, suddenly you're gonna find out, I know. Suddenly you find that, oh, it's getting better. Everyone should go back to work. It's so nonsensical, the whole thing, you know? But they're incredibly bold in the sense that they've put up a half-wit. The guy was never, never smart. This guy, I know this guy back from when I was a kid. He was tossed out of the elections back in the 80s because he was plagiarizing stuff, literally, again and again and again. He was embarrassed out of the last election back when he was younger. The guy was supposedly politically dead, but I guess in America loves comebacks, and I love that too. I've had my comeback, right? But, you know, the guy's an empty suit at this point. I mean, did you hear the stuff he was saying yesterday?
I love the Jim Carrey meme, you know? Yeah, it's like, incredible.
The guy said things, he was like, he can't even speak, the guy, you know?
But, you know, to your point about, you know, COVID and all this stuff, I mean, yes, I think it's, you know, a plandemic, scamdemic, whatever you want to call it, but they cannibalized their own vote when they did this. The Trump voters, they don't care. They'd walk through the hallways of glass to get to the ballot box and check that Trump, you know, vote. Right now, Biden people, you know, I don't think there's that many, but they've terrified these people so much to where they're not going to leave their house and vote anyways. So all the votes already cast. Now all they're counting on is fraud, is what I believe. I believe it's fraud. That's, you know, that's why they have all these 80 million, you know, mail out ballots. I think that's what they're counting on. And that's why they've been, you know, trying to push the election day, so to speak, you know, how long they can count the ballots afterwards, figure out how many more ballots they need to kind of declare a victory. But, you know, as smart as they were, they really didn't think this through, did they?
You really think they get away with that? Everyone's watching too closely. I'm sure this voter, there's always some amount of voter fraud, but I don't believe that there's too many eyes watching that, you know, the level of fraud that would have to occur. I'm not saying it can't occur in like Chicago is notoriously like
Philadelphia. Yep.
Certain areas, right? They, you know, it's always like that. But I think all eyes are watching, and I don't think this election will be stolen by anybody. In fact, I really think that, you know, they played their best hand was to try to make it look like the Trump was so far behind that why even bother going out and vote? And that doesn't work. People are, as you said, I've been amazed at everywhere I go around the country, the support for Trump is just unbelievable. The level of enthusiasm. I flew out of Opa-locka Airport yesterday, and I flew out, they were, you know, having the rally that night. I flew out early. I didn't want to go to the rally because I was, even though my doctor said I'm no longer contagious, like just being careful for a few more days, right? It's only prudent. And but they were preparing for that rally. I heard the rally was like off the charts last night. It's just like, and my friends, you know, who are in Florida, I was out for dinner before I got hit with COVID, and there was Trump caravans, bop, 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 down the street. My friend, yeah, they're coming all the time. Everyone's pro-Trump. I don't know. I just, you know, there's something that's so disingenuous about the news, right? I'm almost like, obviously, you know, the whole Hunter Biden thing and the blimps. I can't believe. I just cannot believe the lack of respect institutions or so-called institutions like the New York Times have for the truth. It's like they're fucking total propaganda red sheet. It's like, I've never seen any, I've lost all hope. Like, it's like unbelievable, you know?
No, I totally get it. If you look at the social media platforms, if you look at the press, if you look at the DNC, if you look at pretty much all the mainstream media, everybody is kind of like come together to just try to, like, you know, to be anti-Trump, you know. And what I think it is, you know, with Hunter Biden's laptop, I definitely think they've been trying to suppress that, as we know. I mean, you saw what Twitter did with the New York Post. But I think that they're all going to end up being caught. I think they're all in bed together. They did some crazy, shady stuff. You know, you've already started to see some of the things that have come out, you know, as far as Biden taking basically bribe money or basically bribing other people to do things for him. You've seen some of that, but I think you're going to find out that, like, you know, your Pelosi's and your Feinstein's and, you know, all these people that have been working against Trump, I think you're going to find out that they're all in bed together doing some shady stuff, like you're starting to see with Biden. I think you're going to see the Clintons. I think you're going to see Obama. I think over the next 4 years, a lot of the stuff's going to come out. And that's why they're all so, also against Trump, trying to make everybody, you know, not trust him, not like him, things like that, because what's going to come out, I think, is going to be just insane. And the press is part of it. You know what I mean? The press is part of it. I think big tech, I think, you know, they're in bed with the Chinese. I think they've got, you know, they've got public companies. Those stocks are for sale. Who owns all the majority of those stocks? Who knows? They become, you know, like mouthpieces for the CCP. So I think a lot of stuff's going to come out. We're going to find out why, you know, big media and the big social media platforms have been, you know, so adamant, you know, against Trump and trying to discredit him at every turn.
I think, you know, there's this like, sort of, you know, white guilt thing that goes around or something like these at these like liberal social media organizations, like where like, it's like, you know, once they make, so, okay. So someone like, you know, a Zuckerberg or any of the people that are making massive money, they don't care if their taxes go up or down. doesn't matter to them anymore. They're wealthier set. It's not the people. If my tax rates go up 6% or 7%, I'm going to be okay. So are you. You're going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. Yeah, I don't like it, but it's the middle class that gets destroyed every single time. And that's what they don't get. And that's the part that really is sad, is that, like, you know, it's like everyone's like, you know, yeah, let's let all the illegal immigrants in as long as I can live behind my high walls. And I think what enrages America, the average American, so much, because Americans are smart. And I mean, I don't say that like we're any smarter than Australians, but people are smart. And Americans are educated, if nothing more. They're educated, their eyes are open now. And the fact is that the level of disingenuousness by saying, let's allow people that have, you know, just not legally entered the country, let's give them all these benefits when I'm living in a gated community under protection. You know, it's like a joke. And I think that, like, I think last year, last election cycle, like I called it the Lena Dunham effect. Like Lena, like, it's like, oh, of course. And I mean, she just destroyed it for them. Like, who would not watch her and just say, I have to vote for Trump, because I'm just like, you know, it's just too offensive to watch a woman like that gonna tell me what I should do. Like, I found her to be the most offensive, wretched person. I really did, because, like, just the way she went about doing it. And again, I have nothing against the liberal cause at all. I think the liberal cause has got a lot of the legitimate side of it. It's got some good stuff there. Okay. I have a fundamental disagreement in what's the most effective way to lift people up out of poverty. That's why I disagree with the liberals. They think it's by social programs and higher tax. I disagree. I think that's a way to create bureaucracy and burn money and waste. The only people who make money are the politicians with big government. That's what I believe. Okay. I think there is something wrong right now with capitalism. I think the capitalism has gone become unbridled. There is too much power concentrated in Silicon Valley, for sure. The things need to change, but it's almost like what Trump wants to do is attack that. And they want him, it's like everything's upside down. Like, Trump's trying to fight for the people who hate him. It's almost like bizarre, you know? So
it's crazy. And especially when you go, you know, super far left, like the AOC, the Harris types, you know, it's like America, I see it as like a Lamborghini. And I keep seeing them try to make it like a minivan or something. It's like, that's not going to work. You know, you've got a Lamborghini, leave it alone. If you really want a minivan, go buy one, right? So if they really want this type of stuff, like Ilhan Omar, go back where they came from, right? You know, go to Venezuela, go to Russia, you know, go to China. You can have all the stuff that you want there, just like you're asking for here.
Well, go to Australia.
Sure.
Like Australia is a wonderful country. But they have a very different fabric that makes up the social structure. Their DNA is not like our DNA. The American, the US DNA is about success, hard work, getting ahead, standing out. In a place like Australia, like, it's not thought of as being a great thing. Like, their actual value system is more about the tall poppy syndrome, not standing out, not, you know. So, like, I can understand that, like, as you said, like, you know, you're not going to make America into Australia any more than you'll make Australia into America. Like, the different countries, every country has this, you know, what works in the Netherlands works for the Netherlands, because that's kind of, that's their fabric. And also, like, if you look at when I just spent a lot of time in Russia, and like, they'll say, we love Putin. We love a strong leader. We don't want our rights. We don't think people should have rights. Like, we think it's great that we have a strong autocratic leader. We like that. Who's to say that's what they want? That's what they want. God bless them. That's their country. We don't own their country. I think there's a fundamental mistake that we think we have some moral high ground, like that our way is the best way for everybody else. We have our constitution. I cherish our constitution. I love it. I think it's the best thing out there, and I want to protect that. And I fight for that constitution to protect it with my life. If I had to, I would certainly do whatever it took to make sure that was not bastardized. But that's our constitution. That doesn't mean the rest of the world should play by our rules. Like, that's one of the big, and that's why Trump is like. Trump's like, America first. Look, how many wars have we been in since Trump took office?
Zero. First time in like 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. How many, what's happening in the Middle East?
Peace. Thing called peace. Yeah.
Peace everywhere. All right. Yeah. What happened in North Korea? Peace. What the fuck? I mean, like, you know, at a certain point, it's like the disingenuousness of the left. It's like, you know, they're making, and you know, listen, I don't appreciate some, I think Trump ruffles some feathers he doesn't necessarily have to ruffle. I think he could improve his communication some, but then again, If I was being constantly attacked and belittled and lied about by the mainstream media, I wonder what I would start. At a certain time, I'd say, fuck it, I'm going Scarface. If they can do that to me, they're going to lie like that because he can't win no matter what he does. So, you know, again, who am I to judge? But I would be really surprised if the American public didn't overwhelmingly, when they go behind that ballot box, when no one's looking, that curtain closes, Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's one of the things that they're really not taking into consideration is how many Democrats are just like, you know what, dude, this is not for me. I'm going to vote for Trump, because a Harris-Biden campaign, as they keep saying it, you know, is more like 1984. And what Trump kind of offers is like 1776, right? And I think people are smart enough to see that. And one of the problems that, you know, Trump has had is he's always got bad press. He's kind of a rough guy. You know, he kind of tells it the way it is. He offends people, you know, with Twitter and things like that. But he's had the media against him this whole time, and they really haven't shown all the great things that he's done, including like peace in the Middle East, right? You know, North Korea, the lack of a war there. So many things that he's done. I think Gavin Newsom, of all people, said it best. You know, promises made, promises kept, right?
Right.
So it's pretty incredible the things that he does, but he doesn't get the coverage. And so people, they just see one side of him, and they don't see, you know, all the great things that he's done. And for people to start looking into it outside of the TV programming, you know, they actually start to see, it's like, wow, this guy's actually really doing great things for America.
I think the sad part is that, you know, these newspapers receive special protections under our Constitution because of how important, you know, adequate news is to a democracy. And a functioning democracy needs an informed populace, and it's the role of the news to inform the populace. But it's just not true. Doesn't happen anymore. I've never seen it. I read everything out there on both sides, and I'm just absolutely shocked. The New York Times to me is the biggest letdown. It's the biggest rag of a paper. It's such a disgusting rag that it's like, it's so obvious. Like the bias is so blatantly obvious. It's like they're not even trying to hide it. It's like, what are they just written off half the, so we don't care what half the country thinks anymore? It's really, it personally offends me that a newspaper that would have that much responsibility would give that little of a shit about what half the country thinks. You know, I wonder why that is. I wonder like about that.
I have a feeling that these people are all in bed together, and they've all done some shady stuff, and they're all trying to cover for each other. And they're really hoping that, you know, whatever they do is effective in not getting Trump reelected. I think that, you know, they're going all at him right now with everything that they got, trying to keep him out of office, because I have a feeling, like I've said for a long time, second term, they burn. So basically everybody that's been doing shady stuff, like you start to see in the Biden laptop, all of those people, I think, you know, the Clinton emails, I think things that Obama did, I think a lot of the stuff's going to come out, and you're going to find out that the media has been in bed with them the entire time. And so that's what they've been trying to prevent. And that's why there's been nothing but, you know, this hate towards him. So if people really look into what he's done for the country, there's no president that's ever done what he's done in the amount of time, period. He's done more for our country than anybody other than maybe George Washington.
And making it like this virus was his fault. I mean, like, right. Just stop it. Like, I mean, come on. And some people are actually foolish enough to buy into this. Like, it's no one's fault. It's like a fucking virus. And like, he did his best, okay? And in hindsight, he probably did some things that were really smart, other things that maybe weren't as smart, okay? But hindsight's 2020, but like, it's not like his fault. I mean, like, you know, it's like, and for some of the stuff that comes out of the mouth of these, and I realize pundits are pundits, but, and I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with is then people disguising themselves as legitimate news people acting like, obviously, just, they're just pundits. They're not centric. They're not down the middle. They're actually just liberal moles, basically. And I see that on MSNBC and CNN, even the mainstream, not just ABC, all of it's offensive. And I think it's backfiring. I really do. But I think it's back. I think people are keenly aware of it right now. And the more they do it, the more it pisses us off. And the more motivated we get to vote. And I think the big surprise is going to be the Black and Latino vote.
100%. Yeah, one of the things this this virus, whatever you want to call it, has done is it's allowed people to become more political. They've had a lot more time, so they start looking into things and they start realizing that Trump has allowed certain things to happen, so people are exposed to the truth. They see who's really running their their state. They see who's running their city. They see who tells the cops to stand down. They see all this stuff, and then they they look on the left side and they're like, man, I really don't want this stuff. So what Trump has done here in allowing this stuff to kind of just happen, it's really educated people, and they've seen this. And I don't think this is ever going to happen again. I think people are smart, and I think they realize what's going on. And when you look at these pundits, they'll look into things like Operation Mockingbird, and they'll find out that a lot of these people that are in the press are plants. They'll find out that political leaders are married to some of these pundits. And it's just this big orgy of everybody that's kind of like in the deep state or whatever you want to call it, that are all working against pretty much the American people to program them. And people will start to find that stuff out, especially, with these lockdowns, they've been a lot more exposed to this stuff, and people's eyes are getting open. I can't believe that some of my normie friends now, they're aware of some of this stuff. Before, they just said, Beatles, you're crazy. It's like, they come to me now, you were right about everything.
An example of some stuff that you think now has sort of crept into the mainstream now that used to be considered fringe.
So some of the stuff, like the Clinton emails, people just, they just kind of, whatever, they said, wait a minute, she beat her phones with a hammer. She deleted 33,000 emails. You're telling me Hunter Biden has got $1.5 billion from the Chinese? You're telling me Joe Biden has possibly for 47 years been selling out the American public and profiting from it? And this is the guy that we're supposed to vote for president? Just little things like that, that are huge, obviously. But, then they look at the CDC data, right? So they start looking at the viruses. They used to just take for, gospel, whatever the guy on CNN would be saying. And they're like, dude, they're programming us. They're lying to us. This isn't real. Here's the numbers. This doesn't make sense. We're under control. We don't want this. People that were totally Democrats are like, I'm voting for Trump. You have no idea. From being from California originally, a lot of my friends are Democrats. I get along great with them, whatever. I don't necessarily align with, some of their ideas, but now they're telling me they're voting for Trump. So that's what hasn't been polled, is how many Democrats are going to get in that booth and then vote for Trump.
I wonder. I really wonder. I'm so, as I said in the beginning, we started, it would be just such a great thing to watch a repeat and just to see the insanity. Just remember all those great videos, the next day of Trump will never be president. He'll never be president. Never. And then just the tears trickling down, right?
Thing of beauty. Yeah, the red tsunami, it is coming. Not my president part two. It's going to be incredible. Yeah, but because I really think 80% of the people, want what Trump is selling if they knew exactly what it was. Because, if they're watching the media, then they kind of maybe don't know exactly. But most people are getting, educated, and they're wisening up, and they're like, wow, this is what I want. And then you got 20% that, maybe they like the socialism side of things, but I think you're going to see an 80% freaking tsunami wave, as you've seen with, almost 100 miles of vehicles in Arizona, as you've seen thousands of boats, as you see Beverly Hills, as you see Los Angeles, all these places with thousands of people. You see 58,000 people show up to a field, like in Pennsylvania, where Biden and Bon Jovi can't draw 20 people. You got 58,000 people there.
Now, guess what I don't get? How could this even be close? That's the part that really still
media lying to us and the polls.
I think there's always the blocks of just Democratic voters, so you have that base that just votes, right? They're just whatever, they vote, but still it doesn't appear to be close. It really doesn't,
it's in not. My mind.
and we'll see, and I think we're gonna see pretty quickly tomorrow. I think that when do they count the initial block of the ones that came in, those get counted first or last?
The initial block, I think they're counting as they come. In the Constitution, what we're looking for is the electoral votes. And so I believe the president of the Senate is supposed to, according to the Constitution, be reading those as they come in. Each state is supposed to report the delegate votes.
All these mail-in ballots, when did those get counted? In the morning, or when did they get open after the polls closed? What moment did they start tallying the mail-ins?
Yeah, as they start coming in. So every state has different laws, but as they come in, they've been, getting tallied up. I just, that is pretty much their Hail Mary, is this 80-something million, mail-out ballots that, you know, that I think they're going to try to do some funky stuff with. But, you know, I don't know if you saw, like, in Travis County, one of Biden's campaign guys got caught with 750,000 ballots, got caught with a stack of driver's licenses. Doesn't really get reported, but it sounds like he got arrested. You look at Ilhan Omar there in Minnesota, where she's doing all the ballot harvesting. These are felonies, right? You look at people, you know, there was like 500,000 ballots sent out without Trump's name on it. They're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And you had Biden himself saying that they've created the most, there was an inclusive and expansive voter fraud system the world has ever seen. Obama used it. He's using it. He got caught saying that. You know, it's like even Trump was playing it at some of his rallies.
Where was that?
It was on a podcast where he was truthful for a second talking about the voter fraud. Yeah, I'll leave a link to it in this video for people if they think I'm crazy. But, you know, all the stuff that he comes out and says, you know, there's some truth to it. He just has a brain fart. You know, maybe the love of his life is his sister. You know, maybe he is going to do whatever he says, right? Maybe that's his plan, right?
So. Two different ones.
Yeah, I don't know. Man. The Jim Carrey liar, you know, meme is hilarious. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we can talk politics all day, but how's business, man? How's business been going for you, especially, you know, with people locked in their homes? Are they, you know, trying to learn more about sales? Are they, you know, are you just exploding in business and revenue and all that stuff?
Thanks. I've been very fortunate that, obviously, you know, because I do online training, so it's been great. I miss going out there and traveling and connecting with people, and I've been doing it again. So in the last month, I've been to about 4 or 5. I was in Brazil, I've been in Texas, I've been in Indianapolis, I've been in Miami, yeah, I got in Tampa, and yeah, I got myself a little case of COVID. That's that. Now I'm done. I can go anywhere now. I'm a warrior, right? So, like, but yeah, business is really good. And I think that, you know, people, I think one of the keys to success, no matter what you do for a living, you know, whether you work for someone else or not, is that you almost always have to be almost like reinventing yourself every day. I feel like you're almost making yourself obsolete in some level, because you can't, the world is just moving and evolving so fast. So I'm not saying you throw all the good stuff out. I'm saying I'm always looking, no matter how good I'm doing, I always like, hey, what could be better? What can I improve on? Keep the stuff that's great, tweak. And I never stop that process of trying to improve and perfect. And I think that's been one of the secrets to my success, because it's very easy to get complacent when you're making money. And I think that right now, especially when things are just changing so quickly, I think everyone should constantly be, it's almost like once a week, be looking at what you're doing and just making sure that everything still makes sense. You don't want to be the guy who's manufacturing buggy whips in 1905, basically, you know, when they're getting rid of horses and buggies. Yeah, you can be the best buggy whip manufacturers, probably a guy that still makes them and makes a few dollars doing it, but it's not the business you want to be going into right now. So I think that, as you pointed out, the online training world has definitely benefited massively. You know, has been lifted up in the last 6 months to a year. Well, good. Good for you. If not, it's never too late to start getting into one, to pivot and try to include some of the things that really are hot right now into what you're doing.
Yeah. And so for the programs that you offer to people, you know, maybe they haven't, you know, seen that you actually have programs out there. Who's like your ideal customer, right? So who's somebody that can benefit from what you teach?
So I have two main parts to what I do at my company. One is I train salespeople. And I have a system I teach called the Straight Line. Many people know it. It's been taught for a long time. It's very powerful, very effective, and it changes a lot of people's lives. And that's a system that I have, and that I have some stuff that's free, all the way up to my certification programs, which are a few $1,000s. And the more you spend, the better it gets. So it's, you know, just the value proposition is awesome. It changes people's lives, and it just allows people to become more effective human beings. On the other side, I also do recruiting for companies. So business owners or sales managers looking to expand their sales forces, I supply them with salespeople in bulk. So whether you want 3 people, 30 people, 300 people, we recruit on behalf of these companies and we deliver them salespeople. So that's another aspect of my business too. But to me, it's always about the training. It's that you got to get people trained correctly. And, you know, the biggest mistake young salespeople make, when they hire young salespeople, is they expect them to somehow know how to close intuitively. Or they put them in jobs, they're not really adequately trained to succeed at, they falter and fail, and then you blame the salesman. And you know what? It's really not their fault. You have to give the salesperson training. So what we do is combine that together. We don't deliver salespeople to companies until they're adequately trained. So we identify great salespeople, we train them up to a razor edge, then deliver them to companies. So those are the two things that I'm doing right now in that space. And also I'm doing stuff in the solar space now, where I'm actually just, you know, I have a solar division because I really believe in solar energy. I think it's a great value proposition, a lot of money in that. I think it's, you know, I'm not a big global warming guy, but still, no one wants to shit where they're eating. It's certainly the cleanest energy in town. A lot of money to be made in that. So I never stop looking for opportunities. That's my thing.
No, that's great. It's one of the things that you can definitely tell about yourself, because you've done a lot, right? And you're always doing more. So you got some kind of motivator in you that a lot of people, you know, may not. What is it that drives you? What is it that motivates you to do all this stuff, to constantly like reinvent yourself, reinvent your sales training, you know, get into solar, always growing? What's that motivator for you?
It's like, to me, that's the fun part. The fun part is the figuring it out. It's like coming up with an idea and then trying to like get it together and launch it and make it perfect. And then to me, that's a really gratifying thing, even more gratifying than when it starts to succeed scaling it. I mean, scaling is great. And I've been down that road many times too, but the fun part for me is those early days when you're not quite sure if it's going to work and you're getting some good feedback and then not, and you're struggling. And then like, and it's a pain in the ass while you're going through it, but then all of a sudden, bam, you hit that right combination. So I just enjoy doing it, to me. So it's a very high, it's a value that I change. Maybe knowing I might not succeed in them. And a lot of times I don't, but I take it on the chin and I move on and do it again, you know?
Yeah, just like they say, if you love what you do and do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And
exactly.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, and so with your sales training programs, I mean, I think it's epic to have, a place to actually go and get trained salespeople, because sales is one of the biggest professions in the world. It doesn't matter what you are, if you're trying to get a date with a woman or if you're trying to sell a product, it's all about, you know, it's all about sales. So what is it about your programs that, you know, you hear about like Chris Voss with Black Swan, or you hear about, you know, Grant Cardone? What differentiates, you know, like the straight line or what you're teaching against, you know, something like that for people that are always getting hit up on LinkedIn and all these different things coming at them all the time, all these different sales trainers? Obviously, you know, they just need to take one look at you and listen to you, and they know that you're probably the best that's ever lived. But what makes your program better? So, you know, they're not just saying, well, Jordan's great, but how am I going to be great?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think with someone like Chris Voss, I think he's more negotiation training than sales training. And I'm sure he's very good at that stuff. I don't really know. I don't have, as you know, that much respect for Grant. I think his stuff's terrible. And he himself is a fuckwit. He's under scrutiny right now for all the stupid shit he's been doing, taking people's money, you know, for investments and spending it in his own jet, which is ridiculous in my book, the stuff he's done. He's got big lawsuits against him now. But, you know, I think with my stuff, and there are some other good sales trainers out there, I think what separates my stuff is mine, I think, is the only end-to-end system that I found that really allows someone that, you know, to actually to use it in their daily life, either personally or in business. It's not like a soft, like conceptual system that you kind of say, wow, okay, I've learned a lot of principles of persuasion. No, this is about actually, here's what I do to increase my closing rate, like granularly, like step by step by step. So it's a very granular system that gives you like almost a blueprint for applying it in every industry. And it's been proven over, you know, three decades now to work. So it just has the social proof behind it. And I think that people know that. I think people know that. I never really run to people who say, oh, his sales stuff doesn't work. They hate me. I mean, people say, oh, what he did 35 years ago is terrible. You're okay, great, whatever. I did 35 years ago, right? But no one ever says my stuff is bad. So, I'm grateful for that. Because I think it is a great system. And I know in my heart of hearts that anyone that buys it, they will get massive value out of it. What results you get are up to you, because then people have to apply themselves.
Sure.
But if you do apply yourself, you will get an amazing result.
Yeah, it's like buying a home gym. If you never use it, you're still going to be fat and out of shape, right? So if you're just an average realtor, you know, you're just doing okay, average car salesman, average, you know, I don't know, SAAS salesperson. You know, what do you think just the average closing rate improvement number would be for these people? Because if they're able to look at that and say, hey, look, you know, I can get 5 or 10% better and it costs me X, I'm going to end up, you know, 10xing or 1000xing, you know, my investment.
Yeah, those are like an interesting equation that I've thought many times about, sort of, you know, running those, like trying to really get to that point to say to someone, okay, so let's say what's your average, you know, what are you making each month right now? What's your close rate? So here's what you actually get for each X percent increase in your close rate. The truth is sales is a bit more complicated than that. And I would be lying to you. And I'm not going to exaggerate that and say, oh, if you take this course, you're going to raise your close rate by 24%. It doesn't work like that. Okay. What it does is it takes a terrible salesperson and makes them good. It takes a good sales person and makes them great. It takes a great salesperson and makes them absolutely extraordinary. So it levels you up one or two levels very quickly. Now, I have anecdotal situations where people will go through the course and they'll have a 200% increase the next week, but that's not typical, okay? It's just not typical. Life is not like that, all right? But what this is this course will literally give you everything you need to become a world-class closer, everything that you need to master the art of closing the deal in your business life, your personal life, whether it's online, offline, tangible, intangible. People typically get a very short-term pop, as much as 30 to 40% quickly from some of the aspects of the system that are very easy to learn, and they're almost automatic. It's like tonality and how you ask for the order the right way. And then there's other nuances that take a bit more time to learn that can lift your close rate even further. But again, it would be, you know, it's based on what industry you're in and based on how much effort you're going to put in. But I promise you this. If you go through the system, you will dramatically increase your closing rate and you'll make a lot more money. And how much? That depends on you.
Yeah. But it sounds like, I mean, you know, you've been doing this for 30 something years and you've been training people for 30 years. And it sounds like some of the people that, you know, in the first week after they went through the course, sounds like they went up 30, 40%. So, yeah. I mean, if they're making 100 grand a year, that's another 30, 40 grand. I mean, that is nothing to laugh at, right? For sure.
You know what? Better examples, though, it's not just that. It's just people saying, I took the course and it changed my fucking life. I get more of that than anything. I get more of I just took the course and it changed my life. It's not about increased my closing rate, because that, yeah, of course it increases your closing rate, but the impact it has on you as a human being, just being able to communicate your hopes, ideas, and dreams, and make more money, to live a more empowered life. It has an impact on the individual. They feel better. They feel more assertive. They're happier. And you can't put a value on that. And yes, it does increase their closing rate by some, you know, significant portion. But the old woman comments I get are like, it changed my life.
Yeah.
And that to me is worth, you know, a lot more than anything else I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. The world is all sales. Like we said in the beginning, whether you're asking for a date, or you're asking for somebody to buy, you know, buy a house or a car or whatever. Sounds like pretty much anybody can benefit from this, and it could change their life. So that's awesome. I'll make sure I leave the links for people that are in the pinned comment so they can find you. Because you have free content.
We have a bet, buddy. We have a bet.
The bet. Ah, the bet. Yeah. We did that last time. So that was Bitcoin. If I remember right, your number was 9760.12. So yeah, I think that 9760.12, because you kept giving me crap because I said 9,700. And you're like, no, 9760.12. So I remember that. So I said 10,000. You said 9760.12.
Right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's down about 1.68%, I think, right now. So it's at about 13,500. So it looks like I'm going to have my first $25,000 meal. I've never had a $25,000 meal before. So it's.
I promise you a lot will be with the wine.
Yeah, I'm more of a whiskey guy.
$25,000 at dinner is what you drink. I promise you one thing, I'm going to delay that. I'm going to delay that until my sense of smell's back. Because right now I can't smell anything. If I ordered a bottle of wine that was $15,000 right now and I couldn't taste it, I'd be really pissed off, you know? Oh. But I hope I lose the bet, because I would love to see Bitcoin higher versus lower. And we'll see soon enough, another month and a half, you know?
Yeah, it's not too far away at all. So I thought that it'd be higher, but I figured 10,000 was a safe bet just based off, you know, what it usually does. So Anyways, man, it's always great to catch up and hang out. So I look forward to seeing you again, you know, January when your sense of smell is back and I've won our bet. And yeah.
Either way, buddy, either way. But listen, let's talk again after the election and have a recap.
You got it. I'm looking forward to it.
I'll have a few laughs either way. All right.
Red tsunami is coming. So, all right. Thanks, take care. God bless.
Welcome back, peeps. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Let me know what your thoughts are in the little comment section below. I know that this probably really upset, you know, some of the people on the left, but if you're honest with yourself, if you're on the left, and you actually do some research outside of CNN or the New York Times, things like that, you'll probably end up seeing our point. I think socialism and communism, that type of government structure, has been tried something like 26 different times. And guess what? It's always failed. And so for the people that really want that type of government, I always say, stop trying to, you know, turn America into one of those types of countries, and why don't you go live in one of those, you know, for yourself and see if you actually like it. You know, because my great-great-great-great-great-great uncle, you know, Benjamin Franklin, and our founding fathers definitely did not want that for America. They had seen that type of system, you know, before, and that's why they created, you know, the one that we're all fighting to keep here in America. You know, as my great uncle, Benjamin Franklin, was thought to have said when walking out of Independence Hall after the Constitutional Convention, someone yelled out to him, you know, they said, you know, doctor, what have we got, a republic or a monarchy? To which my uncle supposedly said, you know, a republic, if you can keep it. Well, that's what we're seeing across this country right now. You know, how millions and millions and millions of people are showing up in all kinds of inclement weather just to show support for Trump and his Make America Great promise. And believe it or not, he has kept all of his promises so far. Look it up if you don't believe me. But, you know, regardless, I still love y'all, you know, Democrats and Republicans alike, and just want the best for all of us. Truly, I do. And as always, God bless you, love you, and of course, God bless America. And hey, make sure you go out and vote in person, not in person. Don't let them steal your vote. God bless you. Love you.
Hey peeps, just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beetle shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beetles and his guests. Robert Beetles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of Trading New Sessions, Crypto Beetles on YouTube, and on several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beetles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam.
God bless you, love you, and I'll catch you all in the next one.